Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A good Monday afternoon to all of you from your pals Grant and Danny. You are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. Good news, bad news for you. Good news first. We got a great show planned for you. Also, Danny Ruye will be back tomorrow. He's doing well. He's healing up nicely. Went to the doctor for a little checkup today, and they said you are almost ready to get off the injured list, get back into game action. That's the good news. Bad news is one more day with your boy sitting here solo, chatting with you for 4.5 hours. We are taking you all the way up to 6:30 today on The Fan. My guy, Patrick Stevens of the Washington Post. There is nobody better, nobody smarter, nobody nerdier in my kind of way when it comes to college basketball and knowing everything you need to know about brackets, who got in and why, who got shafted and why the committee left them out, than Patrick Stevens. He joins the show at 6, 4 hours from now to give you a detailed breakdown on the bracket as it sits going into the first four games that start tomorrow. So if you want to get smarter, print your bracket, get out a pencil or a pen, and make sure you are listening at 6 o'clock tonight. If you're busy, you're taking the kids to a practice, you're having dinner at that time, make sure you podcast the conversation. Every single year, this guy makes me money. He is so smart. Patrick Stevens of The Post at 6 right here on The Fan. We'll also be joined by Jeremy Chinn today, the safety who Washington signed and brought over from Carolina. Very likely going to be their starting strong safety. Jeremy Chinn, who was the runner-up to Chase Young in the Rookie of the Year vote back in 2020 among defensive players. Chinn on the show at 5:30. You want to get to know one of the Commanders' newest starters on defense. You better be tuned in at that time. Speaking of Chase, by the way, he is visiting the New Orleans Saints today. I've been very curious to see where Chase ends up because I'm hoping he can kind of get a contract, restart his career, get on track, and become the pass rusher we were all hoping for. But if he gets to New Orleans, pins his ear back a little bit, gets upfield, and gets after the quarterback, I could see that being a good destination on a really good defense for him. At 4 o'clock in about 2 hours, Beltway Blitz time, start of that segment, John Fogerty tickets. I know John Fogerty for one song. If you like music and you know more about music, I'm quite sure he has a bunch of bangers. But I know him for center field as a baseball guy. Every time I've ever been at a high school baseball game, it's been playing during batting practice. It's just as good as it gets. When it comes to the spring, being out in the sun, drinking a cold beverage, maybe it's a beer for you, maybe it's a Coke Zero, little John Fogerty playing. We'll give you those tickets right at 4 o'clock here on The Fan today. But let's get into a little weekend recap of everything that's been going on in the sports landscape, starting with your Washington Capitals. I was up very late on Saturday evening, like many of you were. What a win for the Caps in Vancouver, a place that has been really, really tough to play. For the second time in as many games, Thursday and Saturday, Caps holding on to a one-goal lead late. They get a 2-1 win, just like they did in Seattle. And now they are positioned as they play the final game of this daunting road trip today in Calgary against the Flames to get three straight wins, six massive points, and to come back to the nation's capital, set up really well for a playoff run. And guess who scored the game winner for Washington? The Great Eight, Alex Ovechkin.
And in behind the net, the Capitals showing a lot of the same resolve we saw in Seattle, but here against a better team. Here's Alexei, the pass in front, Ovechkin scores! Alex Ovechkin on a loose puck in front, he bats it home on a left post, it's 2-1 Washington!
That's 19 for Alex Ovechkin with the dirty goal in front. He is 53 back of Wayne Gretzky. Start of the year, I said to you guys, there's no way this doesn't happen. It's Alex Ovechkin. He's going to pot 40 this year. We're going to be cooking with grease. Hasn't quite gone that way. And in fact, there was a moment about 6 weeks ago where I got real nervous around the All-Star break. And I was trepidatious, thinking, all right, maybe we need to scale back the expectations just a little bit. Father Time seems to be winning the matchup. But Ovi's been on a heater in the second half. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He needs 53. I think he'll score. He's on pace to score four more this season. Let's take the over on that. Let's say he scores five or six more down the stretch for Washington. He'll be in a really, really good spot. At that point, he needs 48 or so over 2 years, even if he doesn't pick up the pace next season, which I still think he's got a chance. I know that's not how age typically works as you get closer to 40. But I think he's got a better chance to score more goals next year than this year. He was snake-bitten early. Some of the metrics say he should have scored more goals than he did. The power play was completely broken. They have fixed it largely. They're a top-10 power play unit. In fact, they're fourth since the All-Star break, and Ovi is a part of that. They're a top-10 scoring team since the All-Star break. It's just a better product right now. It's a better, more fun version of this group to watch night in and night out. But this road trip didn't start well. We knew it was going to be a tough task, and then they went out west, and they lost 3-0 at Winnipeg. I think the Jets that night looked like they could win the Stanley Cup. Completely buttoned up defensively, gave Washington nothing. Then they got worked by Edmonton 7-2. So they were outscored 10-2 with two losses going into the third game of this trip, and since then they've scored only four goals. But because they've played great defense, back-to-back wins, and to beat Vancouver in their building on Saturday night was awesome. The Canucks are 21-6-4 at home going into that game. Oshie playing in his 1,000th. Thank you, sir, for all of the memories and for these services not yet rendered, because you're not done yet. TJ Oshie, known for hustle, heart, and drinking beers through his sweater as he celebrated the Stanley Cup. They fell behind 1-0 a minute into that game on Saturday, and it looked like, uh-oh, here we go. Then everything changed. Charlie Lindgren, 21 straight saves down the stretch. They had a period where they didn't allow a shot from Vancouver for 12 minutes in the second stanza, and they blocked 11 of 20 shots, got goals from Wilson, which you just heard there, the game winner from Ovechkin. So here we are with the Capitals. You look at the standings with a chance, with a win this evening to come back to D.C. where they start playing a lot more home games in short order. A playoff team for the moment as they get on the plane. They're going to play 16 games in their final 30 days. That's the most of any team in the playoff mix in the East. They also have the fewest games against non-playoff caliber teams. Only five times are they playing teams right now considered outside of the playoff chase. So this is going to be arduous, and if they get in, they will have earned it. But they're playing well enough right now. Defensively, they've been fantastic. Lindgren and Nett has been marvelous. And the kids aren't bad. Hendricks LaPierre, game-saving defensive play, working hard on the defensive end the other night. Connor McMichael has elevated his game. Ivan Mereshnichenko. Did you guys see the assist he had on the Wilson goal? The dude is uber talented. As 20-year-old, they burned a year, basically, to let him stay in the NHL. And Carbs, over the weekend, said, yeah, he earned it. He's really good. He's one of our best players. We're not going to send him down for the purposes of saving some money or setting him up, you know, based on control for years ahead. So I like the decisions they're making. They're pushing and going for it here, even after the trade deadline. And if the kids play well enough, they'll get in. And if they don't, they won't. But they're set up with a lot of picks and in a pretty good spot as they try to have their cake and eat it too. But more on the Caps game as we get closer to the Blitz with Ben Raby today. Huge, huge game tonight at Calgary. And we've got some details for you in our 4 o'clock segment. Meanwhile, the Nationals have named Josiah Gray their opening day starter. Fired up about this. They very easily, by the way, I know you guys don't want to hear this, they very easily could have just named Patrick Corbin the starter and not worried about the reaction. Final year of a 6-year deal. Corbin, year in and year out, post Strasburg's injury and the departure of Scherzer, has been the opening day starter. It'd be a lifetime achievement award. He helped you win a World Series. One last trip around the league for him in his final year, the swan song of this contract. You just say, look, he's our veteran. He pays for the tabs when guys go to dinner. When we have team parties, everyone goes to his house in Florida. He's going to be our opening day starter. But they didn't. They have turned the page. They are crowning Josiah Gray, kind of the horse in the front of the rotation now. And I really think this is exciting and indicative maybe of what lies ahead this season. This is not just going to be the status quo, we're here to get our teeth kicked in kind of year that they've had the last couple of seasons, which is not to say they're going to win a whole lot more, but they're going to start prioritizing the next phase. That might mean calling up James Wood and Dylan Cruz as soon as they're ready very quickly. That might mean at some point making the decision that you roll with Trey Lipscomb over Luis Garcia, or maybe it's Lipscomb at third over Nick Senzel, right? When you start to tell me that you're going with Gray over Corbin, that you're thinking about not just what's been done in the past, but what lies ahead, we're in a different chapter of this rebuild. So I think that was probably a really healthy thing for Nats fans to get to see this weekend. Gray is 26. Last year he posted every 5 days over 30 starts, pitched in 160 innings. Used to be you make 30 starts, you pitch close to 200 innings, but just not that way. Now guys get yanked fifth, sixth inning all the time. But you want to see him get closer to 200 frames, continue to work deeper into games. He has more in the tank than what we saw last year. He was outstanding in the first half, and he made the All-Star team in the National League and then kind of fizzled out down the stretch. But if he could be better for longer into this season and have a second half that rivals what he did in the first half last year, then he's going to pitch like a number two type starter. They don't really have a true ace. I think Mackenzie Gore probably got the highest ceiling of anyone in the rotation right now. He could be the closest thing they have to a number one in the org. They're going to have to go spend money at some point, both on a bat and a pitcher, to just kind of supplement this thing with some of the kids they've got coming. They're way better off as far as the minor leagues and the system goes with prospects who are hitters. That's James Wood, who you've heard a lot about in spring training. That's Dylan Cruz, the number two pick out of LSU. And there are many, many others. Pitching's not quite the same. Hopefully, Cavalli can stay healthy this year. He'll be in the rotation. He's probably a mid-rotation type starter. They've got a lot of what I would consider 4-5 type guys. Jake Irvin, Jackson Rutledge, Mitchell Parker among them. They'll all be pitching in the show at different points this season. But they don't really have a front-of-the-rotation guy. And so in the meantime, the closest thing you've got to being both high upside and a bona fide veteran is Gray, so you give him the call on opening day. They open on the road, though. Their home opener is on April 1st here in D.C. I really hope they save Mackenzie Gore for that start, because I got to be honest, I just think it'd be a bummer if we're all getting ready to go over to Nats Park and 40,000 of you guys are going to be sitting in that ballpark for one of the few times it's packed all year long, and like Trevor Williams is starting. I just don't think that moves the needle to the same extent. So if I was Davey, and to my knowledge, he has not publicly lined this up yet, but I would go with JoJo on opening day, Corbin in the second game. I would come back with probably Jake Irvin in the third game, and then I would have the home opener, which is really the opening day from a fan standpoint, that matters a little bit more. I'd have that be Mackenzie Gore. And my guess is the competition wages on between Trevor Williams and Zach Davies, and maybe Davies is their fifth starter for the second game of the season. But you might not need the fifth starter to make that second start at home right away because of some built-in off days. You'd be right back to Josiah Gray. So that's how I would line it up if I was Martinez. But I did like seeing that. Good news for Nats fans this weekend. Now, before I get to the Commanders news, we could do that in just a couple of minutes. How about the Chicago Bears over the weekend trading Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick? When I first saw that Fields netted a sixth, I was pretty shocked. Then I found out that it was not just a sixth-round pick. It was a sixth-round pick next year. A future sixth-round pick. What are the Bears doing? What are they doing? Now, I understand that you can't create a market that isn't there. So if you want to tell me, well, nobody wanted Justin Fields as a starter. He had to go somewhere as a backup. And if you're bringing in a backup, you're not giving up more than a sixth-round pick. Okay, fine. Can we at least acknowledge that they misplayed this really throughout the offseason? That they botched the hand that they were dealt? Number one, they did a bad job developing and supporting Justin Fields. Let's just start with that. Fields also didn't help himself every step of the way, where he struggled at times. But you either get dealt a good or a bad hand as a quarterback, and I would put him in the bad hand category. Early weaponry around him was bad. Line wasn't particularly good. I'm not convinced Luke Getsy did well by him every step of the way as an offensive coordinator. So you kind of separate for a moment that they just, the way that they set him up did not help him to thrive. But that's irrelevant now. You knew you were trading him. You had the number one overall pick. Forget that half of their fan base wanted to pass on a quarterback at one, Caleb Williams or otherwise, and keep Justin Fields, which is insane. Bears fans, you're ridiculous. What was the movie? The line that was funny was like, "You shut your mouth when you're talking to me." I mean, Bears fans, you shut your mouth when you're talking to me. Stop saying you want to keep Justin Fields and trade the number one overall pick. You're embarrassing yourselves. I am filing you into a category of a fan base that I now no longer thinks it watches or knows anything. Having said that, okay, we'll just put that to the side for a moment. What are the Bears doing? They admitted, Ryan Poles came out and admitted they were going to trade him soon. I think that was at the combine. It might have even been before that. But he was like, "Oh, we'll get rid of him in the next couple of weeks for sure." He didn't say it in those words, but he said, "Whatever we do, we're going to do it soon. We got to do right by Justin. We don't want to basically hinder our young quarterback, whoever that is." Everybody knew what that meant. We've got to trade Fields because we don't want him and Williams on the roster together. You basically said you were trading him. Shouldn't have done that. You basically said you've got to do it soon. Definitely shouldn't have done that. I would have just waited till the draft because of, let's say the Vikings can't trade up. Okay, maybe you don't want to trade it. Fields to them in the division, which I think is stupid, but let's just say that that's the case. Sure, Denver needs a quarterback, might trade up, might get shut out. The Raiders want a quarterback, may trade up, could get shut out. What's a better consolation prize for a team with Gardner Minshew in Vegas, or is it Jarrett Stidham or something like that in Denver? Some guy, if it's not him, it's a guy like him. Then Justin Fields. Now you call them up and you go, "Hey, the offseason's over. You didn't get one in free agency. The music stopped. You didn't sit down. You didn't get one in the draft. It's okay. We've got Justin Fields." Like, you were worried about taking Caleb Williams and for a few hours, Fields still being on the roster when everybody knows he's eventually not going to be. I just don't really get the urgency that they had and also the forecasting and telegraphing of what they were going to do. I'm not suggesting they should have been able to get a two for Fields. He didn't play well enough. But in a world where Mac Jones got a six this year, where Sam Howell got a way, way better return than Justin Fields. By the way, Adam Peters making plays, ladies and gentlemen. Golf clap. That's a Scottie Scheffler clap for you there. Sixth in the future tells me you didn't do everything right. I could not believe that. I saw six and I meant, The Bears were really desperate to do this today. I'm sorry, did you say a six next year? Sam Howell got way more as a return. Peters pummeled the return of Poles. And I know that NFL trade compensation is so fluid and year to year, it's utterly impossible to predict. I am terrible at it. I don't think there's anything I'm worse at in evaluating and analyzing sports than assuming what someone's going to get as a return in trade compensation for their player. Because it is constantly evolving and it's just different trade by trade, as we saw at the quarterback market this year. But it just seems like they screwed this up big time. All right, let's localize the football conversation to the Commanders. Not one, but two cornerbacks since the weekend began when we were last talking together here on Grant and Danny. Washington is up to 18 free agents signed, 16 external. Want to look at the cornerback position next. Also, Austin Ekeler was introduced to the media today, and he thinks the Commanders could actually be good pretty quickly. I want to listen to what he said and see if we agree or disagree with it. You are listening to The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is a pretty day in D.C. It's a little chilly, though, if I can pick some nits. I got used to the whole 74-degree thing last week. Maybe we could do that again. Grant Paulson with you solo. Danny should be back tomorrow. That is what we're being told by sources. I'll just tell you who our source is. You're not supposed to do that. Our source is Danny Ruye. And he says he will be back and better than ever tomorrow. I am on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson. Instagram as well, Grant H. Paulson. This is a Darris Dairmann, Ryan Clary production. Darris is at @_game836. I really want him to get a better Twitter account, but he just refuses. But you should follow him anyway. He streams his Madden games. He crushes people in Madden. He's gone to two straight Super Bowls in his Madden league. We're not going to talk about the 28-3 Dan Quinn-like lead that he blew in the last Super Bowl.
30-7 to be exact.
Was it 30-7?
30-7 at halftime.
If you ever meet Dan Quinn, you've got to say, Coach, we got something in common. You and I, we both are in this club that neither of us want to be in. It's like what John Walsh tells the people that guest with him on America's Most Wanted. We're in a club nobody wants to be in, man. You had 28-3. I had 30-7 at @_game836. And if you like the Nats, Ryan Clary's a good follow at @RyanClary11. You know him from his work here on 106.7 The Fan with Ryan Explains It All. He'll make you a little bit more, let's say, up to date and up to speed on the important things in the world. He'll tell you something about them you probably didn't know. But we are kicking it with you until 6:30 today, 4 hours from now on The Fan. Your chance to win tickets to see John Fogerty in 90 minutes at 4 o'clock. So the Commanders have made a couple of cornerback moves. Noah Igbinoghene was signed, and Michael Davis has been acquired. Igbinoghene, while not an easy name to say, is a player you're probably familiar with because he was actually a stud when he was drafted. He was originally taken back in 2020 in the first round, 30th overall, by the Miami Dolphins. He didn't get on the field, though. He started two games that year, and he started three games in 3 years since. I don't want to say this. You know, it's not a nice thing to say, but I mean, it's been a massive disappointment. Having said that, he's added for depth. You kick the tires. You see what you can get out of a guy who clearly has some physical traits that everybody liked coming out of Auburn, and he's only 24 years old. So you add him to your cornerback room. The more recent of the additions for Washington is Michael Davis, who they signed today. I don't even know how this is possible, by the way, in this day and age in the NFL. But nobody knew he signed until he basically sat down for his press conference. Like, normally you got, like, an Adam Schefter situation or, you know, some reporter breaking the news or a local person gets it through a source. He basically sat down, the team put out a press release, and within 5 minutes we're like, oh, Michael Davis, that's interesting. He's older, he's 29, was undrafted at a BYU, 7 years in the league, all with the Chargers, entering year eight. He's actually started a bunch here lately. Initially was a special teams guy for a couple of seasons. Then he became pretty much a full-time starter. And this past year, 13 starts over the last few years, right around a dozen or more starts with the Chargers. I don't necessarily think he'll be handed anything here in Washington. My guess is what they've done at corner is a microcosm of what they've done on this roster, which is to say they signed a couple of dudes to add some depth who will probably make the team that, if asked to play in a pinch, will not be embarrassing, you know, but that they're mostly just depth guys. And they have kept their options open to dramatically upgrade the position moving forward. They've got a lot of money still. They've got a great draft situation where they're picking six times in the top 100, five times in the top 80. One of those picks will almost certainly be a corner. Heck, a couple of those picks could be corners. You know, St. Juste is going to start outside on the boundary at one corner. I would imagine for the moment, maybe Michael Davis or Igbinoghene is going to compete with Emmanuel Forbes, who you hope can beat those guys out as a first-round pick last year. But then you've got Igbinoghene, you've got Davis, you've got Christian Holmes as your depth. So you went from basically that being your thinnest position, and I understand you just have two players now. It's not like you have a whole lot of quality. You've just added two names to the pile. But that's kind of what they've been doing here. They're just throwing some cheap talent, available veterans at problems. And as I've said throughout the offseason, I really believe the master plan here is, while it looks like they're going crazy in free agency with 18 additions, I think everything they're doing is kind of to make sure that they have an awesome draft. If they would have sat out free agency largely or just signed four or six or seven guys on the cheap, you know, the Rivera era Marty Party plan, then they would go into the draft with a bevy of needs where they have massive deficiencies, where they have thin roster positions, and then they would have had to draft a corner, let's say at 36. They would have, it's a must. You've got to get an interior offensive lineman at 40, or you must trade back from two because there's just too many areas where you don't have players that you trust. Now, they've filled up the roster with so many free agents. Allegretti going to start at left guard. Biotish going to start at center. Ertz could start at tight end. Mariota is your backup at quarterback. Eckler potentially going to split time with Robinson as your third down, two-minute, four-minute pass-catching running back. Dorrance Armstrong's going to start at defensive end. Cleveland Farrell's probably going to start on the other edge. Bobby Wagner's your Mike linebacker. Frankie Louvu's your strong linebacker. You move all over the place. You've got Anthony Pittman for linebacker depth. Jeremy Chin's probably going to start at safety with Derek Forrest. You've got Igbinoghene and Michael Davis and Dante Fowler all on the defensive side where F.A. Obada's back. By adding and spending, not a lot, but on all of those guys, you just let the draft come to you. It's about wants, not needs. And that's where you make good decisions. You don't shop hungry. You go to the store hungry, you just come back with Oreos and, you know, a bunch of chips and snacks that are, they'll satiate you for a moment. You get that sugar high. That's not really what you're going shopping for. You want to go to the store, mind right. You just ate. You got the little list the wife handed you. You know what you need. You're lining up your meals for the week. And I really think that's where they are. I love what they've done, because while I think silly geese around the country are going, man, Adam Peters said he was a draft guy, not a free agent guy. What are they doing? He's quite literally spending the least amount, like, on players in free agency. They're not splashing. They're not giving a ton of money where you can't get out of deals. And he's kind of doing it so that they can be a winner in the draft, so that they can be a draft-first organization. So seems funny to say that after 16 external additions, but I really do think that's what they're doing. As many moves as they've made, I've kind of been viewing this free agency as a tide raiser for a four-win team that is going to be now competitive enough to maybe be a 7-8-win team. That they're going to be kind of just a middling, not overly impressive, a lot of 1- and 2-year deals on Jags, but just a team that is more professional, more veteran, better coached, and less guys on the field at the end of the year, hopefully, that just can't do this. You know, that don't really deserve to be running around other than if you're seeing what they've got. That's what I think this group's going to look like this year. But is there a chance that they're better than that? Is there a chance for a team that wasn't particularly good with a new front office that came in here and said no thank you to most of the free agents to be, and has almost reworked now, what is 18 divided by 53? We're up to a third of the roster has been overhauled before even the draft class. Is there a chance that they're competitive right away? This is what Austin Eckler had to say to the media today about that. This is a guy who's been through some seasons where he was on teams that weren't supposed to be good that ended up being pretty solid.
We're in the business of sports, and in the business of sports, you're going to go through ups and downs depending on, you know, coaches and players and staff and support. There's so much that goes into the ecosystem of sports, and you're always trying to be the most competitive that you can possibly be and trying to sustain that for as long as you can. But unfortunately, as you know, we even, you know, experienced last year with the Chargers, you know, go through some down years. And so you try to bring in a new chemistry, new players to try to turn it around. And that's exactly what we have going on here. And so I'm excited to do it. I've seen it done before with actually Coach Lynn as my head coach, where we made a couple runs to the playoffs And so I know it's been done before. I've seen it. We saw it last year too with the Texans, you know, how they went through their season and had a bounce back season. So it's been done before, and those things that have been done before can be done again. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, bringing some energy over here and getting ourselves on the right path, and it doesn't have to take long. So I think we can get something going this year.
That's Austin Eckler on the possibility that maybe this isn't going to be the really long-term fix that you guys all think it's going to be. You know what I found really interesting is he referenced the Anthony Lynn-led LA Chargers of 2017, who went 9-7 in the AFC West, finished second in the division. This was before the expansion of a 17th game. But the year before that, they were 5-11 under Mike McCoy. So they fired him. They were 9th on offense. They were 29th on defense in 2016. And the following year, the Chargers were 13th on offense and 3rd, up 26 spots on defense in Lynn's first season. The following year, after his 9-win year, they went 12-4, made a giant leap. And at that point, you've kind of completely reversed the fortunes of the org, from 5 wins to just 4 losses in 2 seasons. But I heard that quote, and I thought, okay, this could be fun to talk about. So I want to do 2 things. First, I want to take your temperature on that, and I want to see if you guys are buying what he's selling at all, that maybe this isn't just going to be a season where I think a lot of us on the outside are seeing them. They're just throwing some 1-year deals at guys to try to raise the tide, change the culture a little bit. Like, this isn't the first step where they're going to be battling for the playoffs in weeks 17 and 18. But Eckler's going, no, this could pretty easily happen. I've seen it happen before. We are signing a bunch of guys that are going to help us. We got the draft class coming in. So where are you at on that? 800-636-1067. Have they done enough to excite you, in your opinion, with what has been an historic modern era roster turnover here in Washington in terms of quantity, that you're willing to say they actually could go from being horrendous this past season to being in the wild card mix this year? Or is that a bridge too far for you? 800-636-1067. I've got thoughts on that next. No Danny today. Grant Paulson with you on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, it was just an opportunity, hey, to come in and be this two backfield, you know, back where I was feeling the best in my career, you know, with Melvin Gordon and I when I was going through my first contract, and that really was intriguing to me, and just the philosophies, you know, being in a room with Coach Lynn as well, as far as a running back coach. This man is an absolute guru, so just being back in a room with him, I know will definitely keep me focused, keep me locked in, and give me the best opportunity to push myself as a player, and so that was the opportunity and the environment I wanted to be in.
The majority of the free agents the Commanders have added worked previously with their position coach or coordinator here in Washington. Speaks to the staff that Dan Quinn put together in terms of bringing a lot of coaches in that are very popular with players. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. That was Austin Eckler in his time with the media today. One of the things that he said that we've been discussing is he views this as a situation where, even though everyone's going to expect the Commanders to not be very good again this year because they were bad enough to pick second this spring, meaning the second worst team in the NFL by way of the tiebreaker, his perception is we could turn this thing around pretty quickly. We might be competing as soon as this season. It happens all the time in the NFL. He referenced the Texans last year. And he even suggested that he was a part of it with Anthony Lynn as a head coach with the Chargers when they went from, I think it was 5-11 to 9-7, 16-17. There's one way that the Commanders are good enough this year to compete for a wild card spot or a playoff spot at the end of the year. And the only way I could see them winning their division is if the division's bad. Like, he referenced the Texans. The AFC South has stunk for a long time, and Houston, flirting with 10 wins, was playing in the final week of the season against Indianapolis, led by Gardner Minshew, to win that division. And I'm not trying to pour cold water on the Texans, who are ascending and look like they could make another leap now after a strong offseason to get to a point where maybe they're one of the better teams in the conference this year. I certainly hope that's the case. Seems like they hit a home run with D'Amico Ryans, who was one of my favorite players in the league outside of D.C. just a handful of years ago. But the only reason the Texans were able to do that is because the division was really, really bad. So that would have to happen for the Commanders to be hunting for an NFC East crown in the final couple of weeks of the year. Because the ceiling's not 13 or 14 wins or something crazy. This team hasn't won 11 games since 1991. The hope is, if everything goes well and the Austin Ekeler plan comes to fruition and they're overachieving and competing, you know, that you're striving for 9 or 10 wins and probably a wild card spot. But there's one path to that, and that is, to use the Texans example again, they picked C.J. Stroud second overall, and he was that dude. They called his name after Bryce Young went 1-1, when I'll bet you they would have called Bryce Young's name if they had the first pick, by the way. And it just so happens they struck gold with C.J. Stroud, who might be the next great quarterback in the National Football League. And because he is so unique and so special and such a great player, immediately he was able to elevate the entire organization and everything around him. We saw it with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. To a lesser extent, we've seen it with Mahomes in Kansas City, right? Because they were already a good playoff team. But he took them from, they're a playoff team that's not really a risk when they get there, to the next step up, which is nobody wants to play them, and they're going to be in the AFC title game, and they're probably going to win the Super Bowl. But when you hit on the right quarterback, when you find that franchise guy, that special QB, you don't stay bad. They're good enough. You know, that's why the conversations like we're having now with Fields, or that we had with Haskins or Baker Mayfield in Cleveland or whatever, where it's like, did this guy get a raw deal? Are we sure that they gave him a great situation? If you're really, really special like Stroud is, then a lot less matters around you. And I'm not saying there isn't a debate to be had, chicken or egg, in terms of, was the situation really good? Did Bobby Slowick, the coordinator, help you? Were the weapons maybe better than we thought with Nico Collins and Tank Dell, and, you know, having an organization that could play some defense? All of that adds up to probably benefiting Stroud. But I also think there's something to, with Burrow 1-1, with Stroud 1-2, and with some of these quarterbacks, it was just going to work out. They were that guy. They were that good. And if Washington hits at number 2 on their QB, we just don't know if either of the guys is on that level. But if Drake May is, or if Jaden Daniels is, now all of a sudden you can convince me that in year one in December, they're going to be fighting for 9 wins in a wild card spot. I would bet against it. I don't buy necessarily what Eckler's selling. I think you've gone from, you know, 4 wins to maybe 8. If some things go well and McManus hits some game winners, or the other team hits an upright with the game on the line or something, I could see you getting 8 wins. But I'm not thinking that this is all of a sudden going to be a team that can fight for the playoffs, which is what Eckler's talking about. But I want him to think that. Don't you? Don't you want to hear veterans saying that? I don't want you coming here and signing up for this, thinking you're going to lose for a few straight years. Who wants to be a part of that? So this is good to hear from me. But I guess my answer to the question I want your thoughts on next, 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Are you buying Eckler's analysis that this is actually going to be, you know, a quick worst to first kind of rebuild for this team, maybe based on this offseason? The only way I could see them messing around and maybe stubbing their toe into a wild card this coming year is if their number 2 quarterback at the end of next season is obviously the right pick, a slam dunk. They finally hit their home run and they got their guy, CJ Stroud style. They did it in 12, remember. They went from really bad the previous season, double-digit losses, took Robert Griffin. It took a 7-game winning streak when they were 3-6. So I don't know how authentic they were as a 10-win team. But they got to the playoffs and had a 14-0 lead in the postseason as a 10-win division champion with a home playoff date. 800-636-1067. We'll hear from you on this next on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.